Welcome to Family Guidons, the podcast created by military spouses for military families.
We're the ones holding down the home front during deployments, state activations, and everything in between.
Here we have an honest conversation about the realities of military life, the highs, the hard moments, and the strength it takes to keep moving forward.
Whether you're new to the military community or a seasoned spouse who's seen it all,
Family Guidons is your place for connection, support, and real conversations.
Because no one understands life like the ones who've been living it beside them.
This is Family Guidons. Fall in.
Welcome back to Family Guidons. Today's episode is called Behind the Uniform, A Tribute to Military Spouses. I am Charlotte Stillwell, a military spouse of 31 years. I am a Blue Star mom to a son who is currently serving on active duty. I'm also a Gold Star child.
And I'm Michelle Matheny, a military spouse of 14 years, a mom to three little girls, a small business owner, and a huge supporter of our military community.
And I'm Kathy Bridgers, military spouse of almost 30 years. I have two children and a son that has been in the Air National Guard for almost 9 years. Today we're talking about May. It arrives with many salutes on the calendar, honoring service and sacrifice of the military members along with the families that support them. May 1st is Loyalty Day and Silver Star Banner Day. May 8th is Victory in Europe Day. May 16th is Armed Forces Day. May 25th is Memorial Day. And the last but not least, Friday before Mother's Day, we celebrate the one job that has no job description but changes your entire life, and that's Military Spouse Appreciation Day.
Yes. So I personally think it should be the entire month, but
I'm with you.
In my house anyway, it is. So, military spouses, we have the job that nobody talks about that you didn't interview for, really, and you just kind of figure it out as you go, right? But I think that is what makes military spouses so amazing.
Agreed.
And is just, the ability that I see in the men and women who are kind of in this life right beside me, of their ability to just adapt and make things happen and keep going. So I think one of the biggest things, kind of starting us off when you think about life as a military spouse, or when I do, is the kind of realities, the different realities that other people who have never experienced military life would not understand, and it comes at you quickly and without much warning most of the time. So, what are some of those things that you never had to experience before life as a military spouse that are just your reality now?
Constant transitions, moving, having to pack up, start over, new doctors, new hairdressers, new schools, new...
I think for me, making decisions alone. Major life... I say major life decisions, but big decisions, for instance, buying a car, knowing that you might hear about your choice, on down the road, really? You would do that, kind of thing. So, yeah, I'd say making those decisions.
That has been a huge one for me in the last couple of months. And it just, like you said, they range from really big decisions, like, are we going to switch the school that the kids go to, for next school year? Or we just recently, I'm doing a little work at home. So, my husband might not recognize the house when he gets back, but, I'm picking flooring and paint colors and stuff. And I ask, I'm like, do you have any thoughts on this? And he's like, nope. And I said, okay, well, then I hope you like what you see when you get back.
I hope you like purple with white polka dots.
Right. Thankfully, he knows I have more refined tastes than
that,
but maybe in the kids' room. But just those, the weight of making a decision that is going to affect more than just you and doing it alone, whether it seems like a silly thing at the time or a big thing. I also think one of the biggest things is the solo parenting stretches and kind of the difficulty that comes with that in terms of just the burnout of being the one that is always on and not having that second set of hands to say, hey, I need to step away for a minute, or I want to go run this errand and I don't want to tow three little kids along with me is that's hard. But then there's also the emotional side to that, to the solo parenting.
Well, I was going to say, you're not just managing your own emotions, but you're having to deal and help navigate the emotions of your dependents, your children. There was a scary situation where we were, my children and I were involved in it, and one of them started crying, "I want my daddy." And because I was also scared and worried, my response was, not so caringly, "Your daddy's not here. You've only got me," kind of thing. And, you know, looking back, you want to take those moments, those words back.
Right.
But in the thick of it, it's a real response.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Everybody's extra emotional. Mm-hmm. Your kids and mm-hmm. you, but you have to try to tamper that down a little bit because you don't want them to feed off of
right.
what's going on with you.
Yeah. Well, and then I think, you know, there's the lighter stuff, too. Like, you know, I always have to be the one that makes the decision of what we're eating for dinner. Like, isn't that a chore that everybody loves? Or, you know, the fun that comes with, like, a PCS of the, you know, and the guard is a little bit different, but we've had some active duty experience time also. And, like, I'll never forget the move we made to Germany when my oldest was 4 months old. And Bill left a month and a half before we did. So I was at home alone with a 4 month old, well, three at that time, 3 month old, finishing packing up the house, like selling the rest of the stuff we weren't going to take, selling our car, getting everything, you know, kind of tied up, all the loose ends of paperwork and everything. And then just getting there. I mean, I made a transatlantic flight. A 12-hour flight or whatever it was with an infant myself. First time being on a plane mm-hmm. with a baby.
Yeah.
And then, you know, let alone that. So just, you know, it's like it's always an adventure. That's what we, you know, it's an adventure. Some days are good adventures. Some days are bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the lighter side with PCSing, you do become weirdly good at making friends fast and saying goodbye faster.
Oh, yeah.
But there are a lot of skills that we get through all of these challenges. It's like on the job training. I mean, you're not always perfect, but you do learn from the fails as well as the successes.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, adapting under pressure, just kind of taking a breath, try not to make those decisions too fast, mm-hmm. and getting help if you need it from somebody who's already been through it, and then move forward.
I think, Kathy, you were just saying making friends fast. I'm always amazed when I talk to people who have served on active duty and you think about the number of times they have moved, and that comes into play. My sister-in-law grew up as a daughter of an Air Force captain, Air Force pilot, I'm sorry. And she is the best person to go into a new situation with because she can work the room. She just knows how to do it. Mm-hmm. She's really good at making friends in situations like that. So, you know, I do think in the military, you learn how to insert yourself and become friends and make connections in a great way.
Well, I think all that exposure to different types of people and situations also helps you really learn how to like read a person mm-hmm. or read a room or a situation. Which is, you know, really valuable in business and other parts of life, too.
Well, and it gives you an appreciation for all people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It helps that you have the commonalities of the situation that you're in. And there's a certain time crunch. You're not near family, so they kind of fill in that family gap. Mm-hmm. But it's nice, even though you're good at saying goodbyes, you do tend to keep those friendships. And sometimes you cross paths again, which is really nice.
Yeah. It's a small military world, relatively, right?
It really does become that way. We've talked about PCS a couple of times, but along that line, and with the National Guard, it's not necessarily limited to that, but you become a master level logistician. You know about getting things done.
Being prepared.
Thank you.
You know, having the steps in place.
Yes.
To like
organized.
Be able to work through the process.
I was thinking master planner.
Yeah.
I'm a list maker now.
Yes.
Not so much before, but when you're by yourself, I have to like list out all the things that need to happen, prioritize them, get the kids involved when I can mm-hmm. so that I'm not doing it all by myself. But yeah, you do kind of have to become the conductor of the orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. get good at that that cleaning out, that purging, you know, before packing, or the, you know, sometimes that master Tetris player with how things are gonna fit in a new room or a new whatever, or fit in all the boxes. But I think, you know, just like I said, that skill set transitions well from life to work and friends and whatever else it might be.
Even new jobs. I mean, it's kind of hard to put it on your resume, but really it's a great training ground.
Yeah.
For almost any job you're going to get into.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that kind of also goes to like the need to reinvent, mm-hmm. you know, yourself, like figuring out what you can do at the next place that you go, or if you don't move, but your spouse's job changes, which means your availability changes, you know, trying to figure out. I've done that a few times in my career, and it's kind of why, one of the reasons why I ended up starting my own business, because I felt like that was something that I can take with me mm-hmm. no matter where I go, as opposed to trying to constantly figure out how to fit into somebody else's, you know, scheme, right. somebody else's setup or organization. So I am always amazed when I meet other military spouses and I hear about their kind of career paths and what they've done, because you're just, you know, very inventive, you know, in what you can do, and to keep yourself busy and to keep yourself fulfilled, you know, to have something for you too. But I think, you know, bottom line, I think, like I said, the military spouse life, military spouses are amazing. And the big focus of our episode today was hearing from service members yes. about their military, their spouses, and what their spouses have meant to them and to their service. And so we want to take a big chunk of time right now to read letters that we received from service members. So we're just gonna go through these because they are all wonderful. So I'm excited to share these. So the first one is from Curtis W. And he says, I really tried to appreciate what my wife did for my family before this deployment, but now I have a new true appreciation for everything she is doing for our family back home. She has become the ultimate mother, father, coach, chef, nurse, lawn service, banker, chauffeur, and so much more for my family and two kids. This all makes my being away a little easier for me, knowing she has everything taken care of at home. She also does all of this still with a servant's heart by baking for the sick and for those who have lost loved ones while I have been gone. My wife is amazing, and I am looking forward to taking a lot of that burden off of her when I get home. I'm sure she loves to hear that. She'll be ready for a break.
I love all the jobs that are listed, right? Like if you had to replace me, you'd have to hire all these people.
Exactly.
Yeah. This one is from Jerquil M. I appreciate the opportunity to acknowledge my husband, Thomas, during Military Spouse Appreciation Month. What makes my husband so special is that he's my number one fan and supports me and our family through thick and thin. Even from thousands of miles away, he is the steady heartbeat of our home, the one who holds everything together with strength, patience, and so much love. I know his role as a military spouse isn't and has not been the easiest road. Yet he's carried it while sacrificing his own comfort so that I can serve our country with peace of mind. He is my constant, my safe place, my greatest source of pride. No distance could ever lessen what he means to me and our family. He's not just my husband, but he's my heart and my home. Thank you for being you, my love. I can't wait to see you again. I love you always and forever.
It made me tear up. These will definitely pull at your heartstrings.
Yes, and I love hearing that. You know, it's nice to hear from a female service member yes. about their husband, because I think they maybe don't get quite as much recognition for the tough role that they play, switching those roles.
Okay, so the next one is from Peter B., and it reads, my wife, Larissa, is amazing. Despite numerous setbacks, health issues, including two surgeries, and the daily issues with our bank, military pay, contractors doing construction at our house, family, pets, and a thousand other things that were time sinks and sources of anxiety, my wife was 100% behind myself and the unit on this deployment. She not only joined the unit FRG group, was on the board for the local PWOC group, contributed to several charitable events with our church and prayed daily for the safety of the unit, but she also managed to rally a lot of external support for the unit, as well as from family and friends. She sent care packages, managed all of our family business, and continually was there for me during difficult times. She is a true patriot and military spouse, and honestly, I could not have made it through this deployment without her. Sounds like they have a lot going on.
Yeah. And she makes it happen.
Yep.
This next one is from Casey G, who says, Elizabeth, thank you for holding down the fort and taking care of the plethora of things on the home front while I've been away. Being a military spouse and mom of four isn't easy, but you're killing it. I appreciate all of the support you provide and take comfort in knowing our family is in good hands. I love and miss you and the kids and am looking forward to reuniting soon. Yes, I'm sure they are all counting down.
The next one is from Bill M. My wife, Michelle, didn't fully appreciate what she was getting into when she married an Army officer, but she was initiated into the deployment life within 6 months of our marriage. Since she has taken on every challenge with grace, resilience, and an appreciation for military service that I pray our girls see and will inherit. I can never thank her enough or express how proud I am of her so selfishly serving others, especially our service members and families. She is both my rock and my North Star.
Oh, I'm going to kill him. That's my husband.
But that was very sweet. Thank you, honey.
Very sweet.
Okay, so the next one is from John P. My wife Claire and I tied the knot in August of 2025. Wow, that was recent.
Yep.
And since then, she has been my rock star from afar during this deployment. She provides me with unwavering support, resilience, and love. We recently added titles of aunt and uncle for our nephew, and I can't wait to celebrate many more milestones together. I love you, Claire.
This next one is from Joshua S., who says, what makes my military wife, Brianne, truly special is her unwavering support and understanding of constant changes, seamlessly shielding me from the stresses of home life while running our two businesses. Wow. And leading our church community whenever I am away. So she is a busy lady.
Wow, is right. This one's from Curtis S. Managing the home during unscheduled needs is such a big part of being a military spouse. Everyone knows that spouses are kind of on their own with the house and the kids during drill weekend, but they also must deal with those unexpected moments. For a chaplain, the call to an emergent need is never convenient and often not neatly within the drill period. Precious is on call, as much to me, to shoulder the household and unexpected moments. Her sacrifice of having parental help really stands out to me. Hear me out. Parenting is not easy, even with two, but Precious, along with so many other moms and dads in the National Guard, sacrificed the great advantage of having both mom and dad present for children. She becomes solo mom on drill weekend, annual training, and through deployment. This is a huge lift for me and a huge sacrifice for her. From the beginning, I couldn't do this career without her, but this is really highlighted and more fully realized when I was transitioning off active duty and into the South Carolina National Guard. I was unsure of my call to be a civilian pastor. I was unsure of my call to be an Army chaplain. Precious is the one who encouraged me with her view that this is my talent, this is my calling, and she is my support all the way.
I love that.
Gosh, yeah. So the next one is from Josh L. I would like to recognize my wife, Teresa, and thank her for her unwavering support throughout my military career. Teresa has stood firm by my side, providing counsel, encouragement, and support for the last 19 years. Through challenging assignments, two deployments, and numerous state active duty responses, she balanced our family's needs with her own demanding career as a nurse. Whenever I have struggled, she has been there with reassurance and direction. No matter what challenges she has encountered, she gives all she has to see them through. From years of working nights in the ER, throughout the onset of COVID, and the demands of managing critical care departments at the hospital, Teresa still had the energy and dedication to raise our daughter, Cassie, supporting her through band sessions and sporting events, and helping establish a youth program at our church. Her strength and endurance continue to amaze me, and I'm grateful to journey through life with her.
That's a busy family.
That is a lot.
Yeah,
that is a lot.
Shout out to nurses, too.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
This next one is from J.S., who says, I've missed a lot of birthdays, games, holidays, family trips. Through it all, my wife, Brittany, has never made me feel guilty about it. She understands what it means to serve. She covers down for all of the events I miss and explains to the kids why I've had to miss them. The most memorable was when, while I was getting ready to come home from Afghanistan, I found out I may have to extend for 4 weeks while the rest of the company came home. When I told her, which I was dreading, she said, do what you have to do, we'll be fine. I will never forget that. That is an understanding wife. And yes. It happens, and that's a
yes,
tough position
does.
To be in, but, you know, that's life.
Got to keep moving forward.
Yep.
The next one is from Mike D., short story. In Germany, I'm deployed again, and we have a three-year-old and a three-month-old. Mara has to take the three-month-old in the middle of the night to the ER for a spinal tap with an energetic three-year-old. When we finally talk 2 days later, there is no guilt, no anger, just a simple, we are fine, do what you need to do. Second, for 9 years on active duty and even in the Guard, she allowed my career to come first, even if it meant sacrificing her own.
Yep. Do what you need to do. Yep. I feel like I say that a lot and hear it a lot,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
What else can you say?
Yep.
keep moving.
Yep.
And the last one we have is from Chris H. Wendy is the rock of the house when I am not home. She understands, without making a big deal, that the Army can make unexpected changes to our plans at the drop of a hat, and that the Guard can prove even more challenging during natural disasters. She is driven to celebrate our family's successes in every area of life. Even though we don't post much online, she makes a big deal out of all achievements, mine and the kids. And she doesn't seek any praise for herself. When we had kids, she put her career on hold for the past 8 years to focus on our family while the kids were small, and has been patient but focused in her plan to build her business, with them now being in school full time. Her commitment to being a successful mother and supportive wife cannot be surpassed by anyone. I love hearing the pride in all of these for the spouses.
It's just appreciation.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll do whatever you need me to do. It's really nice to be appreciated on top of it. That's like the frosting on the cake.
And I think, you know, that's the part that most of us really want, right, is just to, like, to be seen and to know that we are appreciated for the tough things that we sometimes have to do.
That is not easy.
Yeah.
It's not seen, a lot of it.
And exactly.
It's not easy. So, and, you know, that leads us to some of the stuff that we don't want to admit out loud is there can be resentment there. And not even necessarily towards your husband because he's not there and you're handling everything. Could be the military. It could be whoever chose him to go on that deployment. I mean, there's a lot of emotions that have to be put somewhere. And sometimes it goes into resentment. But I think, you know, you just need to take a pause and take that energy and put it into something positive because, you know, like we often talk about, work on the things you can control and pray about the things you can't.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I've always encouraged when I talk to other military spouses to have those honest conversations at an appropriate time, right? Like it's tough not to let all that out when you're in the stressful moment, but you have to think about, like, is it going to do me any good? Is it going to do them any good to, like, dump this at this moment? And I always encourage people to also find, like, you know, that trusted person. Maybe it's another military spouse or a good friend or something that they can vent to when they can't vent immediately, you know, to their spouse. But, you know, kind of to that resentment piece, like, I remember very clearly Bill's first deployment after we got married. He left 6 months after we got married, and he was not supposed to be going on that deployment. He was moving to a new unit, and he was supposed to be part of the rear detachment command. And then because we were moving here to mm-hmm. Columbia, you know, to accommodate this. And I kind of said, well, if you're going, that's fine, but I'm going to stay where we are. I'm going to stay with my friends and, you know, my job and the people I know. And no, I'm not going. I'm going to be at home. And then I quit my job and I move. And like a month after that, and he was like, well, there's been a change. And I remember being like, oh, like, so this is what I have to look forward yeah. to for the rest of my life. But, yeah. you know, we got past it, obviously. But I think, you know, being able to vocalize that and be recognized, like you said, for those career sacrifices, like you leave a job that you love because his job, their job takes you someplace else, to hear, you know, just to hear them say, like, I understand that's, you know, that's a tough thing. And thank you for mm-hmm. doing that. Or conversations that you have to maybe have about that. Like, hey, if, you know, if I leave this job, then, you know, it might be tough for me to get another one like this. So we're good with the track that this family is going on. But yeah. it's all about the communication.
So, you know, anyone who's listening and has been a part of this can recognize those hard parts.
Absolutely.
Because they do stick with you. It's not easy to get through them at the time, but we do. And that's the interesting part of this journey, is through all of that, you know, something kind of magical happens in the middle of it. And, you know, there are gifts that are associated with this life. We've talked about it, and we heard about it in some of the letters from the spouses. There is a theme of resilience mm-hmm. that runs through military families. We learn to adapt. Our children learn to adapt, and we become stronger people because of the fire mm-hmm. that we're living through.
I also think I am really thankful for the tight kind of bonds and relationships that this life has given me, not only in the military community, like our, mm-hmm. our, you know, time on active duty where we were kind of more thrown into that situation and made friends quickly. But those are still people, you know, women that I talk to and keep in touch with now and visit whenever we can. It doesn't happen as often as I'd like. But in addition to those friendships, I think the tight bond of the family, mm-hmm. like when you go through tough stuff together, parents, kids, mm-hmm. You know, and even the spouse relationship, I think if you do it in a healthy way, like mm-hmm. you can come out really strong on the other side because you've had experiences as a family unit that most people can't ever even imagine. So it just kind of helps you solidify that family
right.
unit as a team.
Right. So not just the people and the connections, but the people in that you come across or the ones that you come across, a lot of these people are so admirable because they are doing their part to support our nation, and we get to witness that firsthand alongside them as we watch our loved ones be service members as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's not just resilience for us, mm-hmm. right? We get through those hard times and it makes you stronger. And the next time you come up against something hard, you're like, okay, I can do this because I handled all the other stuff. But I think it's for the kids as well.
Yeah.
I remember my daughter coming up against a tough situation and she said, you know, Mom, I watched you handle so much over the years. And I just keep telling myself, I know I can do it because mm-hmm. you did it.
Yeah.
And you're worried that it's going to mess your kids up. The emotional stuff, the detachment, but they go on to use all that to strengthen them and to move forward, whether it's their career or how they support other people. Mm. It's a building thing, not a breaking thing.
Right. Yeah. And what a cool thing to be such a good example for your child.
Right. You don't even know that they really like notice that, right?
Yeah.
But they do.
Yeah, for sure.
So there are also, you know, those are the intangibles that we may not always say, hey, we've got this in our back pocket. There are also some very real, some very tangible benefits from being associated to the military. And I don't know that a lot of families, well, I know that children are likely to take care of, say, that take advantage of maybe a GI Bill. Mm-hmm. Do you know spouses have benefits available to them? Across the state, there are employment offices for the military, but it also applies to spouses. They will help spouses, you know, put together that resume to corral all the skills that they've gained as a part of this life. Put those on a resume and make it employable. Make it something that they can actually earn some money from. Mm-hmm. But not just, you know, the military offices through the family programs. Military OneSource is also a good place for that. There's continuing education. There are grants that you can apply for. They too have connections with employers who want to hire the spouses of our military members. So there are resources out there. So they're very real.
And lots of nonprofits too that have started to pop up, you know, focusing on this area. And some have been around forever. I mean, you know, there's Blue Star Families in addition to the Blue Star, you know, mothers. Mm-hmm. But they do a ton to recognize spouses, especially during this month. But also like MFAN, the Military Family Advisory Network, MSAN, the Military Spouse Advisory Network, or Advocacy mm-hmm. Network, excuse me. And like they offer, MSAN offers, you can do like leadership education training through them. You can become certified as a peer mentor, which is like an amazing skill to mm-hmm. have and to take with you. You can get a peer mentor or kind of a buddy through them. So I think it's out there. If you can search for it, and we're going to post some links mm-hmm. also on this episode, some more fun stuff. Like I know there's some, you know, giveaway links and things like that. There's some discount links yeah. for this month. So just, you know, check out those links if you're listening here.
There are perks.
Yes.
And if you're out shopping, ask if they do a military discount. You'd yeah. be surprised how many people do. And even if they don't, sometimes they'll go, oh, I'll give you an extra 10% mm-hmm. off. Thanks for your service.
Yeah.
Get the benefits.
Right.
You do the
never,
work.
Never hurts to ask the question. And, you know, I think people want to appreciate
yeah.
you and your service member if given the opportunity. So, right. you know, kind of looking at that now, like what does appreciation really look like? Like what do you want in terms of appreciation? What would feel good to you?
I don't necessarily need the appreciation from the community or anywhere else. It always feels best when it comes from Rob.
Yeah.
You know, just that pat on the back, you're doing a great job, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Or even the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, just noticing. Just the fact mm-hmm. that my daughter noticed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was huge.
Yeah.
Now, I would like to walk that back. There was an incident when we were getting into an elevator and Rob was in his military uniform and I was along with him, and in walked a family, a father and a son. Son had to have been about middle school age, and it was the son who said to Rob, I want to thank you for your service.
Wow.
And then he turned to me, I get a little teary about it, and said the same thing. He wow. says, I know it's hard for you too. And wow. I just absolutely was completely floored that this young man yeah. at such a young age recognized that.
Look how emotional we're getting over just that. But yeah. really, somebody that young.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And I think, you know, like you said, it's nice to hear it from multiple areas. It absolutely feels good from your service member, but I think even more so than just a, you know, a thank you, which that's nice. But like when you have the time, like I would encourage service members to really sit down and think about what that appreciation looks like for them to their spouses. Like it's not just the thank you, but it's, you know, having conversations about what they're sacrificing and what maybe they can do, what you can do as a service member to make that a little bit easier for them. And also kind of giving some respect and recognition for, you know, their career or their identity and acknowledging that that is still really important to them. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I say all the time, like, I understand that, you know, keeping the house going and raising, you know, the kids and keeping them all alive in one piece is a very important job. But for me personally, like having something outside the home to focus on and to feel successful in and, you know, appreciated in is important. So like I have tried to maintain some career throughout the years just to have that. And Bill is very supportive of that and, you know, helping me take chances and that kind of thing. And when he's here, supporting it and supporting my time away from home, however he can. So they may not be able to do it all the time. You as a service member may not be able to do it all the time, giving that support, but acknowledge that it is needed when you can and give those real breaks, you know, from the planning and the physical like presence of being there to that spouse. And I think that's what, you know, that's what I want more than anything is just being able to like take those little breaks and still be recognized for the fact that things outside of being a military spouse and a mom are still really important to me and to who I am and to what makes me feel fulfilled.
Right. Yeah, that can't be the whole, your whole identity. There has to be other things that keep you feeling you. Otherwise, you can get lost in it. Mm-hmm. And it becomes all you kind of are. You're like the backup.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's not healthy.
Yeah. And then I think outside of our spouses, you know, like you said, the community recognition isn't the main thing we want, but it's nice. And even not community so much as family and other family and friends, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like if you are listening and you're not military, but you have military family members or friends, like, you know, do something nice for them this month or any month. Like I think some of the biggest things that have gotten me through this deployment are the nice little gestures of, you know, like a friend dropped a coffee on my porch last week because I was supposed to go meet her. And then I had a sick kid. So she said, well, I'm coming by with the coffee and I'll, you know, drop it on your front porch. Or I had a, you know, a doorbell and dash of a friend who left a box of like lunch and dinner stuff on my porch a couple weeks ago. Or sending a DoorDash gift card or inviting somebody out like to participate in a social activity, even if, you know, I'm always fine being the third wheel or the fifth wheel or whatever, but just to get out and have that social time and or the relaxation time or whatever, like to just be seen still.
Right. To do all the things, to do what you would do for your neighbor.
Yeah.
It's just all a part of taking care of each other and taking care of all those that we love.
Yeah, it's been really nice since Austin's been deployed. We've had family and friends say, what's his address? And they're sending him care packages or cards or like texting him. And that helps me tremendously, knowing that other people are reaching out to him. And it makes him feel good.
Yeah.
Right. It makes him feel seen. So that's a way of supporting my whole family.
Yeah.
Is by them pitching in to support him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, as we end our conversation today, Kathy, Michelle, and I would like to personally thank all of our military spouses for all that you do.
Yes.
Military spouses aren't just supporting the mission, they're sustaining the life behind it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we hear it all the time, but they really could not do the jobs they do without somebody at home taking care of all of the other stuff that they don't have to worry about when they're busy. So if you're out there listening, you know, and you are a service member or you know a military spouse, like please take a minute to express your gratitude to them. Do something kind for them. Just let them know that they are appreciated. Especially this month, but you know, it can extend far beyond May. That's okay with all of us too.
Well, we're so glad you joined us today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we would love for you to hit the follow button on whatever platform you listen to your content on. And better than that, share it with another military family and tune in next because our next episode will be Stormproof Spouse, where we give you tips on how to prepare mentally and physically for natural disasters and emergencies. And as always, thank you for joining us for Family Guidons from the Bluff Road Readiness Center in Columbia, South Carolina. From wherever you are, until next time.